I'm sitting next to a priest and held onto my wallet, and he said to me, he wants to sum up the Jewish holidays in one phrase: they tried to kill you, you won, let's eat. And in truth, he has a lot. There's a lot going on behind that, but in reality, if one looks into Chanukah is in fact an extremely unique Yom Tov. It has a uniqueness to it that does not match, is unparalleled with anything we see during the year. Everything we have during the year, every Yom Tov we have, whether it's Pesach, whether it's Sukkot, Shavuos is also questionable, but Pesach and Sukkot and Purim, they're all physical holidays. In as much that to be yotzei the mitzvah of the Yom Tov, you have to be involved physically. Shavuos as well, you have to not do malacha, it's hatzeres. In other words, your physicality, who you are as a body, is very, very much an integral part of the Yom Tov. You have to eat matzah, you have to sit in a sukkah. Chanukah, if you're not physical, is extremely disappointing. There's no, I mean, besides the latkes and the donuts, which is certainly not din derabbanan or minhag, but it doesn't have any real strong connotation physically. It's a totally spiritual Yom Tov. And the question is why? Why is it that Chanukah is spiritual? Why do we not do anything physical in order to get the physicality involved within ourselves? We find as well in this week's parasha, we find Parshas Miketz, we find the whole Dusiach, the conversation between Yosef and Pari. And the Medrash says that Vishom Itonu Now, when he's introduced to Pari, he says, Vishom Itonu Now, there was with us a Nar. Says the Medrash, Nar Shaita. Yosef was described as a Nar Shaita, a foolish Nar. Now, the Pasuk doesn't say Nar. So why is a Medrash adding on Nar Shaita, giving a derogatory comment about Tzadik like Yosef, when it seems to be unnecessary? So let's go carefully into a very, very fascinating insight into the ideas and cultures of ancient Greece. The Gemara says, Hayavonim hichshichu einem shel Yisrael b'zeirei seihem, that the Yavonim were able to darken the eyes of Klal Yisrael with the gezeiros. And there were some well-known gezeiros. We know that they attacked Klal Yisrael for their Shabbos, for their Mila, and for the Rosh Chodesh. But there was one very, very strange gezeira. The Gemara says, in a brought down in Medrash Rabbah, Shehoiso imeres lehem, they said to Klal Yisrael, Kisvu lechem al keren hashoyer, write on a horn of a shoyer, of an ox, She'enon chelek b'lekei Yisrael, that you don't have a chelek in the Kei Yisrael. You don't have any portion in the Kodesh Baruch Hu's world. Now what does this mean? Let's understand this carefully. Let's not underestimate in any way who the Greeks were. If we don't understand the enemy properly, we've lost the war. The Greeks were phenomenal in their understandings in world sciences. They were phenomenal. Whether it was in architecture, whether it was mathematics, whether it was geometry, in applied mathematics, in medicine, Hippocrates was one of the leaders of today's medicine, and certainly in philosophy. And I'll prove that to you later, that today's Western culture is very, very much based on ancient Greek culture and philosophy. We know then they had Plato, we had Aristotle. These were people who were huge, huge minds. They got it completely wrong, as we'll see. But these people were extremely intelligent. These people weren't into little signs of writing on horns of shoyer. What was the idea? Why did they do that? Why did they use this as a command to Klal Yisrael to write on the horn of a shoyer, Ein on the chedek l'kei Yisrael? But more than that, the idea is wrong. Ein on the chedek l'Yisrael, write it on the front door. Why is there a chiyuv to write it on the horn of a shoyer? And what does it mean, Ein on the chedek? Say, Anachnu koifrim Hashem, we deny Kodesh Baruch Hu's existence. What's Ein on the chedek l'kei Yisrael? What does that mean? We don't have a portion in the l'kei Yisrael. And what's the L'kei Yisrael mean anyway? So just by the way, I heard this from my Rosh Hashiva, Rav Ron Gurevitz, the Rosh Hashiva of Gateshead. He said he once was discussing this with his father, Rav Leib Gurevitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And Rav Leib Gurevitz said he had a friend called Rav Bendis. Bendis was a tremendous Talmud Chacham from Litta, and he used to go to the British Museum to see the ancient tools and the ancient kelim that they had in those days, in order to understand a little bit better the Mishnais and kelim. And he'd go there, it's actually quite phenomenal how it's well preserved, and he'd go there and he'd look into it and he'd see, and he'd try and bring that back into the Pshat and the Mishnah. And he went there with the curator and he introduced him to an ancient baby's bottle. And a baby's bottle was not a little with a little silicone teat. It was basically a shoyer's horn. It was a horn of a shoyer, which obviously has a very wide opening and a very, very tiny opening. And they'd pour the milk on top, they'd hold it, and the baby would suck from this horn, little drop by drop, and that would be the ancient baby's bottle. So that was, Reb Bender says, that was an ancient baby's bottle. And Reb Leib Gurevitz said, perhaps we can understand, therefore, why the Dafka wrote it on a baby's bottle. Because a baby's bottle is a first encounter that a child has outside of his mother. In education, the first bit of education we want to give our children is Eilon Echelik L'Kei Yisrael. Whether they see it, or whether they go through osmosis, whether they understand it or not. But we want to destroy, right from the beginning, there's no chedik in the case, well, take this like baby's bottle and write it on there. Chanukah is chinuch. It's all about education. And that is one idea why that is the case. The Maral gives an idea, understanding, that is actually a kitruk for Klal Yisrael. The egel represented the weaknesses of Klal Yisrael. The shoyer is obviously the developed part of the egel. And therefore the Maral says that the Yevonim wanted to show Klal Yisrael, you aren't so special. You know, you're not so unique. That was a Maral. But I'd like to go through a most fantastic piece from. It's really brought down more or less in Reb Chaim Friedlander. In Reb Chaim Friedlander in Chelik Beis, he explains like this. Sorry? It's a Sifsei Chaim, Chelik Beis, and it's on page Nun Tes onwards. There's a few pages there, and it's a phenomenal understanding. And it so touches upon so many loose ends in Chanukah that it's absolute chiyuv to learn this. He explains as follows. What does it mean in Keren HaShori? What's this Keren HaShori business? So he brings a Ramban. And the Ramban says that Klal Yisrael did something completely crazy in the Midbar. Dealing with Klal Yisrael, who are Dor Deo. They were led by Moshe Rabbeinu Av Mitzrayim. They saw Rabbeinu Shloilam. They saw Esen Nissen. They saw Kriyas Yamsuf. These people were living under the tutorship of Moshe Rabbeinu. These people were riffraff. These people knew exactly what they were doing. How was it that Moshe Rabbeinu went out for a few days and they miscalculated and they made an eagle and it said, Eile Lekech Yisrael, this is a Lekech Yisrael. What's Eile Lekech Yisrael? Well, this golden calf is Rabbeinu Shleilom. You yourself said Zekei Levanvei a few days before, pointed to the Shemaim, and this golden calf is a Lekech Yisrael. What craziness is this? What got into these people? So the Ramban explains that, without going too deep into this, there's something called the Merkava. The Merkava is, as it were, the chariot that Kodesh Baruch Hu carries himself in this world. In other words, it is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu moves around and brings us from place to place, as it were, in Olam HaGashmi. He said, on the Merkava there are two sides. There's the Ari, that is a lion, and on the right-hand side, and on the left-hand side, there is the ox. What's the difference between the two? He said that Ari is on the right-hand side. The right, as we know, is a power. It's a sign of strength. The lion, he said, was the representation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu running the world as a king with no challenges. A king with no boundaries. A king that runs the world in a way that is totally mystical through Nisim v'Niflois. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he's leading Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, was leading Jews through a supernatural environment. There was no water, there was no food, there was a Anani HaKavod, there was an Eish by Laila. It was totally a bit with Nisim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was running the world in a matzav, in a position of being a melech like an Ari, that has no fears, that has no constraints, nothing. Klal Yisrael realized and understood that this is not a long-term plan. There's no way that we can live in this kind of environment without Moshe Rabbeinu. We're human beings. There's no way we can live like this. And therefore, they focused on the left-hand side of the Merkava. The left-hand side being the more limited side. What is the left-hand side of the Merkava? The left-hand side of the Merkava is the shoyer. The shoyer is the ox. What is the ox? The ox is a tool used by man in order to be able to provide for himself and for his family. In other words, they said, Rabbeinu Shloilam, with Moshe Rabbeinu, it was Ari. Eile Lekech Yisrael. Right now, we don't have a Moshe Rabbeinu. And for Eile Lekecha Yisrael, right now we are working on the Shoyer. We are working on a natural form of living in this world. Obviously with your nature. Obviously with you running the world. But it has to be an Arish Tadlus. It's got to be not a supernatural, but a natural procedure in order to be able to run this world. So Eile Lekecha Yisrael was not that making this animal into a god, but the representation of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world in a natural manner, that is Eile Lekecha Yisrael. That is focusing on the Shoyer. And the Ramban says, unfortunately, Klal Yisrael slipped very, very quickly from seeing the Shoyer as the paradigm example of a Kadosh Baruch Hu running the world through nature, as actually leaving a Kadosh Baruch Hu out of it and focusing on the nature itself. That's Rambam talks about it, how they worked first serving the Avodim of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and then they actually started serving Avodim itself. And therefore, what happened was, with this Shoyer is the example of working in this world in a natural manner. And what happened was, Klal Yisrael, Erev Rav at least, took HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of it and just served the nature. So that is the Shoyer. Shoyer represents nature. What did the Yevonim want to do? The Yevonim said to Klal Yisrael, and this we see, and we'll see this in a phenomenal way, that the Greeks wanted to take HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of the picture. They said that we, man, is the ability to create the world's reality. And I'll quote you some statements. I mean, I haven't been through Aristotle and I haven't been through Plato. But it's modern day, Nietzsche, right? Didn't live very long ago in Germany. And he came up with the following statements. Listen to this. He wrote a book, by the way, called The Will to Power, The Death of God, okay, part of his works. And he says, Every drive is a lust to rule. Each one has its perspective that is would like to compel all the other drives to accept as a norm. In other words, I decide what is the right and what is wrong. I decide, and I want to make sure that you believe what I decide is correct. You know, there's a famous Rabbi Twersky, Dr. Twersky, used to give a classes in philosophy. And he gave a class, and one girl was into radical perspectivism. Yeah, she believes that everyone's right if they believe that's what the right thing's doing. Hitler's right and Stalin's right and everyone's right. Anyway, so she wrote this amazing, amazing essay, and at the end of it, it's actually quite marvelous. I mean, completely apocryphal, but and he gave her a G. He gave her a G. Everyone else got A, B, C, and he gave her a G. So she comes to Rabbi Dr. Twersky and says to him, you know, Lobo Seder, this isn't right. You know, it's a brilliant piece of work, and I base it on all different works. He said, no, it's very simple. Anyone who is close to my ideology, the closer you get to my ideology, I give an A or a B. You, unfortunately, are so distant to what I believe in, I gave you a G. So he said, that's not right. I say, are you absolutely sure about that? Yes, how can you possibly say such a thing? You're completely wrong. He said, I rest my case. This is modern day, the modern day, even the Western world, is a concept that man has the ability to determine our future. Medicine, the biggest scientists in the world are clever people. They're geniuses. But the doctors and the medical world is there to counter God. It's us against you, Hashem. You make an illness, we'll destroy that illness. You created the world to build a world, we'll create an atom bomb to destroy the world. That is the biggest minds are in world domination. That was modern day Rome. That was ancient Greece. So listen to this. What the Greeks wanted to do was to take the Shoyer and use the Shoyer as an example of nature running the world. Use the most powerful part of the Shoyer. What determines who the Shoyer is, that's his horns. And write on the horn, Einon chelik elekei Yisrael. God, you're out of the picture. You don't have a chelik with us b'chlal. We are running the world ourselves. Take the Shoyer, which is nature, obviously taking Hashem out of it, write on the keren, the strongest part of the Shoyer, Einon chelik elekei Yisrael. What's b'shat Einon chelik elekei Yisrael? What does that mean? So this is phenomenal. You have to understand this carefully. There's a posuk, it's brought down in various different forms, but there's one pasuk which determines the koyach of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Is the pasuk says, in Shir Shirim. Yeinasi Tumasi. So the Medrash brings down Tumasi. Yeinasi is talking about the Dav HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Klal Yisrael. Tumasi is Loshon Tu'umasi. Tu'umasi means my Ta'um, he's my twin. So the Medrash says, Kaviyochel, Lo Yagni Godol Mimeno, Lo Yhi Gedoyla Mimeni. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, you are not stronger than me, and I'm not stronger than you. Klal Yisrael have this relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu that is a synergy that they combined around the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael around the world. The Pasuk says, in Endo Zoysa Bracha, Reichev Shemayim Be'ezrecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rise in the skies Be'ezrecha with your help. So Rabbeinu Bachaya says that Klal Yisrael give Kaviyochel the power to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to run the world. And we see this as well. It says, "Kichelek Hashem Amoy, Yaakov Chevel Nachlosoi." Kichelek Hashem Amoy. Kodesh Baruch Hu is a chelek. Klal Yisrael is a chelek. What's a chelek? Chelek is a shutfus. It is a partnership. Kichelek Hashem Amoy, Yaakov Chevel Nachlosoi. What's that? Yaakov is the Chevel Nachlosoi, the rope of his nachal. So Chaim V'Loshana says, "Yaakov Chevel Nachlosoi" means that if you take a rope, however long it is, and you start shaking it on one side, the other side will start moving as well. Ki chelek Hashem Amoy is Peshat, the Klal Yisrael are such a partnership with the Kodesh Baruch Hu that it's like a rope. Where you start moving it on one side, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kaviyochel, runs the world according to our actions. So Klal Yisrael over here have a uniqueness that not only do we believe that the Kodesh Baruch Hu runs the world, but we believe we have an ability to determine how the Kodesh Baruch Hu runs the world. We have an ability to change the Kodesh Baruch Hu's perspectives, as it were, of how running the world. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is reliant upon us to determine how nature should be. Yaakov Chevel Nachlosoi, Tu'umasi. And therefore, the clash of cultures over here was such that Klal Yisrael knew from the very essence that they are unique. You know, there's a Gemara in Avodah Zorah. The Gemara says, at the beginning of Avodah Zorah, that La'osid Lavoi, all the Ummah Yisrael are going to stand in line asking for their rewards. And they're going to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbeinu Shlomo, look what we did. We built the bridges. We built the internet sites. You know, look at us. We did fantastic stuff. All for the sake of Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, Shoytim Shabu Olam, you fools. It wasn't. It was for yourself. So the Chazal asked, what do you mean Shoytim Shabu Olam? Don't Shoytim, not fools. You're liars. You didn't do it for yourself. You hated the Jews. Another way you want to annihilate them, you tried. And you managed it sometimes. What's Shoytim Shabu Olam? The answer is that in truth, they're absolutely correct. It was done for the Jews. It was. But they never knew about it. And if they would have understood that and focused on that, then actually there would have been a reality that it would have got schar. That is the way the world works. That Klal Yisrael have the ability to change the world's existence through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Goyim have no such thing. Their purpose is to serve Klal Yisrael. Now, for a nation as Greece, with such depth and philosophy, they lived their philosophy. They lived. No, there is no philosophy, there's nothing, there's just taiva. These people were huge minds. Huge minds. And they lived the breakfast, they discussed philosophy. That was their whole life. That was their passion of life. Knowing that Klal Yisrael are the ones who run the world, or believe they run the world, and they have no portion in that. And they believe that it's only nature. And Klal Yisrael is saying, it's not nature, it's us. We have the ability to work with the Kodesh Baruch Hu and determine how you are going to be. That was something that was not a shaykh with them. That was not possible with them. That is why they had to write on the Keren HaShoyer, again, the example of absolute natural existence, Ein lanu chelek b'elekei Yisrael. We don't have a chelek, we don't have a portion. In other words, there's no shutfus between elekei Yisrael with elekei of a Kodesh Baruch Hu with Klal Yisrael. There's no such partnership. We are totally Klal Yisrael. They're forcing us to say are totally disconnected from Rabbeinu Shloim and nature rules. In other words, the fight between us is on world dominion, nothing less. They believe they run the world through the masses of ideas of philosophy and mathematics and science and medicine, and Klal Yisrael say we run the world through our mighty Torah. Yosef is in Mitzrayim. Yosef is sitting in a jail. And he's having a discussion at breakfast. You know, I don't know, they're eating their ancient Egyptian breakfast cereal. and I asked each one around the table, why are you in jail? One massacred his whole temple. Fine, I can understand. Why are you in jail? I don't know. I gave my mother-in-law a birthday present. Understood. All these are terrible things. But why was it that Yosef was in Mitzrayim? Why was he in jail? What, crazy? He said, I'll tell you why. A bit of a story here. I was working for this Potiphar chap, and Ashes Potiphar, the wife of Potiphar, tried to entice me. The wife of the boss tried to entice me for a fling, yeah, and I refused. And she threatened me with my life, and I refused, and I ran out. And because of that, I was imprisoned. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what these people will be thinking? They'll be rolling in the aisles. This crazy guy. He's Meshuggah. He's crazy. How can he possibly be put to jail for that? Jail? You guys willing to risk his life? Come on, that's crazy. Why are you here? But Hinei Nar, says a Medrash Shoter, as far as they are concerned, Yosef was the biggest fool in the world. He missed a golden opportunity. And why did he do it? Because he knew that the world exists on controlling our passions, on controlling our urges. Paroi calls Yosef out of the boir, and Paroi says to him, isn't this beautiful thing from Dalkiv Musa? Paroi calls him out of the boir, and you have to understand, nobody gets pulled out of a jail. Nobody gets pulled out of a jail, certainly not a Nar Ivri who's a fool. And this is a last attempt to try and bring some normality there. Can you imagine the TV cameras and everyone is there, and Yosef is schlepped out there, probably very white from the not seeing any sun, and he's haggard and he's thin and he's wearing these clothes which don't really fit him. And he's standing there in front of Paroi, probably in chains, who knows. And Paroi says to him, Yosef, I've heard that you, I have no choice but to come to you. And the Pasuk says, excuse me a second. Yeah. Vayim et Paroi Yosef, chalom chalamti, upoisa ein oisoi. There's no poisa. Vani shamati lecha leimai, I heard saying about you, tishma chalom nifto oisa, you'll be able to help me here. Vayan Yosef al Paroi, this is Yosef's first words to Paroi. Leimai, biladai, wrong. Elohim yaneh shalom Paroi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to bring the peace to Paroi. Right? So he says to Paroi, you're wrong. It's not nature, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, Paroi was strong competition with the Bnei Shalom. Yeah, Paroi was a bit of a crazy guy. I mean, he went through extremely uncomfortable situations in order to prove that he was a god. Right? And he's saying, no, it's God who says this. Now, he could be shocked in a second. Paroi carries on and Paroi says to him, okay, Yosef, you're wrong. Paroi says to him, Vayim et Paroi Yosef, Vayidabe Paroi Yosef, b'chaloimai, on my chaloim, hineni oimed al sfas hayoir. I was standing on the side of the yoir. Liar. Liar. In the Pasuk it says, v'hinei upari choylem, hine oimed al hayoir. So why is Paroi saying hine oimed al sfas hayoir? Says the Darkin Musa, al hayoir means you are in the yoir. Yoir, inside the yoir, the yoir is able to overpower you if it so has a desire. Paroi says, nah. The Yo'ir is also, by the way, a god. I was standing above the Yo'ir. I was looking down at the Yo'ir. Therefore, there's not Peshat that nature has a power to overcome me. I overpower nature. You're saying it's a Lekim, I'm saying I'm in control of that. And that was a whole Dusiach. Yosef was a Shoiter. How can you possibly give away that opportunity? And that is Klal Yisrael. Now, let's understand this carefully. Klal Yisrael therefore believe that through our ruchnius, through our doing the right thing, we're able to control gashmius. We're able to determine how the gashmius is going to be. The Greeks believe it's all about gashmius. We asked the question at the beginning, why is it that Hanukkah has nothing physical about it? There's no lulav, there's no shofar, there's no sukkah, there's no matzah. And it's all spirituality, it's all about having an air, and it also to have an off from it. Why? The answer is, the chinuch says, the reason why we have all these physical elements is in order that our physicality should inspire our spirituality. That Baruch Shebechutz outside that inspires our spirituality. That is every other yontif, where we use the physical to inspire our spiritual. What we explain you now is what Klal Yisrael is proving on Chanukah is our spiritual has ability to overpower the physical, which is totally different to every other yontif. We don't use a physical mitzvah to inspire ourselves. We, through our spirituality, through our mitzvahs, are able to determine how the physical is going to be. That is why Chanukah is unique. That's why Chanukah doesn't have those kind of physical mitzvahs that every other Yom Tov has. And we can now also fully, just one more minute, fully understand now as well, what was the idea that the Greeks were out to destroy our Shabbos? They're out to destroy our Bris Milah, and are out to destroy our Rosh Chodesh. So Shabbos, you can understand it various different ways. Shabbos is understand that Kosh Baruch Hu controls our business life, and they say we control our own business life. But Shabbos is really more than that. It's an oath between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and us. It's a connection with the Chilek Elokei Yisrael. Okay, like we explained beforehand. Also, as you've described beforehand, also Bris Milah is a bris. It's a Bris Milah between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They wanted to break that bond. But what is bothering them about Rosh Chodesh? Why Rosh Chodesh? Well, the kids come home in the white shirts on they have to go to white shirts to Cheder. What bothers? What's so upsetting about Rosh Chodesh to the Greeks? Why do they bother that? So there's an amazing, I think it's a Yishalmi. And Yishalmi says as follows, that a girl, if she's under 3 years old and she loses a psulim, then those will return to her if she's not yet 3 years old. Chazal say, what happens though if she's already 3 years old? She's 3 years old in 2 days. And she'd lose her psulim then. They will not return. Then Chazal came along and they were kriveya. They fixed a reality that this month is this Adar, it's happened in Adar, that we're adding in another Adar. And therefore her birthday was on Yud Adar. Yeah, so if you're born on a regular Yud Adar, you have to wait till Adar Sheni, right? And therefore, now we've added on another Adar, it's not yet your birthday. In that case, naturally, she'll get back up suddenly. In other words, Rosh Chodesh is the mitzvah that shows how human beings have the ability, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help, to determine nature. That they have to destroy. That they want no chelik upon. That they want to make sure that Klal Yisrael completely forgets. And this war hasn't finished. This war hasn't finished. The idea of who controls the world. The idea, is it medicine? Is it science? You just have to read Stephen Hawking. And the fight that they have. The genius. There's somebody called Crickes. Crickes came out and discovered DNA. DNA is the ultimate proof that the world was created. There's no way through the billions of different kinds of systems, and I've got Dr. Teller here, he can tell you this. This is something you cannot even possibly imagine, the sophistication of that. So there must be a God. No. There's a seeding theory. From Mars, they came and they put seeds on the world, and that's how the world came into existence. This guy's lost it. What happened to him? The answer is, that is Greece. Can we control the world? Can we run the world according to what we want to do? Without any restraints, without any constraints, without any people telling us what to do, can we determine how our life is going to be? Or do we have to come on to a Kodesh Baruch Hu? And therefore, by coming on to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, we've got to do the right thing. We've got to control our urges. We've got to do mitzvahs and ma'asim and tovim. That is a fight they had then, and that's a fight that continues today. Good Chanukah. Yeah. Yeah.